And we got Mr. Ryan Krista Sportscast, February 22nd, 2018. Ryan, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Sandra, how are you?
Good, hey, good.
Pretty good. It's always a good week.
It's always a good week in sports.
Yes. Never a downtime.
Is it true this is like the slowest week of sports? Or these, you know, I mean, I've always heard July is, but whenever there's an all-star game, it's slow.
Sure. Well, I mean, in summertime, of the major sports, and you get to July, and you have the all-star break for baseball, those couple of days, there's literally no major sports going on. But right now, you know, during this break, all you really got is hockey going on other than only major sport. But there's always news going on in, you know, every sport, though.
Did you watch the NBA All-Star game in its entirety?
I didn't watch every single minute, but I watched a good portion of it.
And
as a basketball enthusiast, it's not the, you know, it was better than usual. I will say that. But it's still, you know, if I have a choice, you know, tonight I'm going to watch an NBA game because it's regular season and it means something. This All-Star game, it was a little different because you could tell there was a little bit more pride on the line than normal.
Is it because of, would you say it's because of the new format?
Oh, yeah, that made a big difference because now instead of just playing for yourself, you're playing for a team, you know, you're playing for either Steph or LeBron, because they chose you to be on their team. So there's a little bit more, you know, self-pride than just, you know, letting somebody go in and slam dunk, you know, 20 times in a game. It's still not the greatest quality basketball, but it was better than usual.
Would you move forward with this format?
I would say definitely with this format. I'm looking forward to next year, you know, all signs point that the draft, with the NBA players for the All-Star game is going to be live on television. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the players' faces, who gets chosen, you know, how are people going to react when they get actually chosen last, because no one likes to get chosen last. It's, you know, it's kind of a self-pride issue.
Now, I've been hearing that the NFL is on, like, it's going downhill, and NFL is going on the up. I mean, NBA is going on the upswing. Do you think that's the case, that the NBA might reach NFL levels?
An entirety of a fanship close, but I don't think it ever could, because the NBA is still kind of regional in a way that it's still you're going to be hitting the major big cities. Well, still in the rural areas, you know, you're still going to, you know, Midwest America is still going to, you know, favor more the collegiate athletics because of the purity of the game. They're not going to flock to the NBA. You're never going to get the ratings of an NFL game and NBA game well, just because, you know, NFL is once a week. You're going to gain, you know, more of a general audience. But the NBA, little by little, each year seems to be gaining a piece of that pie that the NFL is losing. You know, I think it starts with how relatable and how these stars are, in the sense that with social media, you know, your James Harden, your Steph Curry, your LeBron James, you feel like you really know these guys more than just the guy you see on television. And the kids that are younger age are starting to pick that up, and they're following, you know, NBA is winning the younger generation, while the NFL kind of owns that, you know, that 20, 30-year-old range and older that they've had for so many years, while the NBA, little by little, is going to start getting a piece of that pie because they are winning those younger demographics.
Speaking about college basketball, the AP poll has Virginia number one, Michigan State number two, Villanova number three, Xavier four, Duke five, Gonzaga six, Texas Tech, and so on. What do you see the college basketball season so far?
Well, we're coming down the home stretch of the regular season. This is where now that college football has been over for a little bit. You got an all-star break in basketball. This is where people kind of start tuning into college basketball because we're getting close to that magical month of March. And this is where the NCAA basketball needs to gain its viewership than more than just March. But for right now, that's where the popularity of the game is, because so many teams make the tournament. The regular season is perceived to be watered down. I'm a basketball enthusiast. I love to watch games in November through March. But you ask the average American, they start tuning in middle of February. You get close to the conference championship weeks, heading into March Madness and the NCAA tournament. Right now, the season, you don't have that dominant team. Virginia's number one. They're winning because of the way they play. They're a very slow, methodical, deliberate team on offense. They take good shots. They have amazing defense. They make you earn every single basket you get. And they recruit to those type of players. They don't have any marquee names. You're not going to see any lottery picks on their team, but they draft or recruit players to their system, and they're very successful. While you've got the Duke, that you know, who's got Marvin Bagley, you know, a lottery pick, Duval, a lottery pick, Grace Nealon's going to be a high draft pick. You know, it's two different ways of playing basketball. You know, with a five-star player, play through middle-of-the-road players that fit your system. So you got two different ways, two different styles that, you know, are recruiting that teams are approaching. And interesting as you go through the year, which style is going to end up being the most successful when it comes to March. I tend to favor teams that with senior leadership team or players that have been around at least a couple of years, because whether you're a great player or not, to go on in March, it's a different game. And that's why you kind of see the upsets, or you see the mid-majors go far because they got seasoned players that have been around and not just players that are 19 years old who, well, very talented, just don't have the experience.
You are officially our college basketball contributor. I don't think I know anyone else that knows college football and basketball like you.
I take pride in it. Thank you very much, Santiago.
So this past week, Louisville got stripped of their championships, I think from 2011 to 15, over a sexual assault issue. What are your thoughts on that?
I've got mixed emotions when it comes to vacating wins or banners, taking down banners. I saw the 2013 championship, and I saw Louisville beat Michigan. Now the NCAA is saying nothing happened. There's no championship. So that whole season, nothing happened. Did they commit, you know, did they get penalty? Did they get improper benefits? Probably. And should they be punished for it? Absolutely. It's just, that's just the tricky part about college sports is how can you punish teams and players when most of the players are gone. And so the best way that NCAA says is we're just going to take down the championships. And you got a prideful program in Louisville. The city gets behind that team. They love their team. So you take a banner down, you're taking a piece of their history down. And it's also great to, when you take recruits on campus, you bring them to the arena and you say, history. You come here, you can be part of it. A great program. Now you're taking down a significant part of their history, and you're basically wiped out the record books. Does it wipe out the memories? No, but that's just the only way that the NCAA can punish, in their eyes, the only way they can punish past transgressions. And now you got Rick Pitino saying it's a shame. I don't really believe him. Anything really Rick Pitino says, he's kind of, you know, he's got a checker pass to say the least, Santiago.
Really? I'm a Rick Pitino fan. I think, you know, obviously I don't know, you know, too much in detail like you would, but I thought he was a great coach. He did not do well in the NBA, but I kind of thought he was a very good good college coach. But obviously, there's going to be some, no one's perfect, and there's going to be, flaws somewhere. And obviously, coaches want to win, and they'll do anything to win. They'll offer, like one player, like they're anything they want, the universe. But sometimes you can't, sometimes you can't do that. You got to go within the rules, unfortunately, and you got to play, fair. And then we got to call the balls and strikes. But,
Yeah, it's kind of the issue now. We're sitting on this. We had that major scandal with Louisville at the beginning of the season, with Auburn and Arizona and USC, where assistant coaches got fired for receiving money from boosters or shoe companies to make sure certain players go to certain universities. And now, inside sources say the FBI has got more people and major programs. So now we're sitting on this bombshell. Is it going to be as big as what they're saying? I hope not, because this could really change basketball, college basketball, for what we know. If we have major programs that are going to be on probation for long periods of time, it's going to see how that affects teams getting banned from postseason. It's going to be an interesting offseason, to say the least, in college basketball.
And speaking about offseason, ESPN is reporting that Kirk Cousins has received seven offers so far. Keep in mind, free agency starts until March 14th. The first offer was from the Jets, your beloved Broncos, the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Browns, and the Cardinals, and the Bills. It's interesting how the Vikings are offering something, even though I think the Vikings are pretty set on quarterbacks. And the Jaguars, I guess they're not set with Blake.
No, Blake Bortles is an interesting
Animal.
story. You had a team that had a lot of success, a lot of games, one or two plays from the Super Bowl, but they feel like there's just one player away from sealing the deal of going to the Super Bowl, and that's bringing in an accomplished quarterback, because they still feel like at the end of the day they're limited in what they can do offensively with Blake Bortles.
And
Would I make a move in on Jaguars? I don't know. That's up to Tom Coughlin. He's built a couple of championship teams in New York, so he knows what he's doing. When you talk about the Vikings, you're really talking about three interesting cases of quarterbacks on the roster right now: Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, and Case Keenum. With Bridgewater, only quarterback, really a young quarterback who they have under contract for future, but you got Bradford and Keenum, which I believe they're going to let walk at the end of the season. So I think that's why you're seeing interest in Kirk Cousins, because you got another team that's got ready-made to continue to have a great season next year, because they got great defense, offensive line, running back with Dalvin Cook coming back next year. They feel like they're one great quarterback away from making a run to the Super Bowl also.
And of course, you got the beloved Broncos, which I've always said would be the perfect spot. Not saying because you're a Broncos fan, because I'm looking at it on paper. I think the Broncos is a good shot for Kirk if he wants to win the Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
Yeah, you would think so. You take away, you went to the Super Bowl of margin, a very marginal and limited Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning provides the leadership. He didn't turn the ball over, and that was the equation to win games, because you had, that great, pass rushing Von Miller. You got the no-fly zone defense, Keaton Tlaib and Chris Harris. The only issue with the Broncos is that they spend so much money on their defense. They just have limited salary cap issues. It might cost, if they're going to bring Kirk Cousins, it's going to maybe cost them keeping Demaryius Thomas on the roster, or Emmanuel Sanders. It's a give and take, or they maybe have to get rid of one of their cornerbacks. You can't bring Cousins in for the amount of money that it's going to take without giving up something if you're the Broncos.
And if I was Kirk, I would cash out.
You only have so many time to make money in the NFL, and I know it's crazy to say when he's demanding such a high price tag. But if people are willing to, you're only as valuable as what people are willing to pay for you, and people are willing to pay a lot of money for a franchise quarterback, because a franchise quarterback equals the chance to go to the Super Bowl, and that's the ultimate goal for an organization.
Which is the same situation for LeBron James this summer. So, you know, will he cash out or will he stick with his heart and just stick with Cleveland?
So if he wants to cash out, he's got to stay in Cleveland because they can sell off from here. The way the NBA salary cap and roster structure, the Cavaliers can offer him more money than anybody else can. It's just if he's, you know, what does his heart want? Does he believe the Cavaliers are heading in the right direction? Does he just, you know, does he feel like this team will never be able to eclipse the Warriors? Is he want to start and rebuild with a, like the Lakers, with him and Paul George, if Paul George comes over, you know, with young players like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram? He's going to obviously be the best player in the league right now, one of the best players ever, so he's going to have, you know, all 32 teams will do whatever they can to get him on the roster, but when it all's said and done, I believe he's going to stay in Cleveland because I think that's where his heart is.
I agree. Ready for some random questions?
Sure, let's do that.
How do you have your pancakes?
With maple syrup.
Usually I have to elaborate. You know, you could add, you know, peanut butter chips, chocolate chips, pecan, blueberries.
My wife would add peanut butter every day because she's a peanut butter enthusiastic. But I'm simple. I just like a good maple syrup, you know, maybe some whipped cream. Yeah, I'm a simple guy when it comes to my flapjacks.
Which is more of a boring sport, golfing or tennis?
Those both sports typically I will follow from a distance. I will pay a little bit of attention when it comes to major events. When it comes to golf, I'm like every American. If Tiger Woods is involved, I'm probably going to pay a little bit more attention. I follow the major events, you know, the Masters, the Opens, the PGA Championship. When it comes to tennis, it's not my favorite sport unless, you know, you got a big name playing. You know, I like, because we don't have, the problem here in America, we don't have any major American men players. You know, we got the Williams sisters on the female side. But I would, you know, I'm going to go tennis.
Yeah. You're right about tennis. On the male side, we only have one or two that come around.
They get some good exercise,
though. What was that?
Fun activity to get some good exercise, though, tennis.
It is. Well, that is it for the sportscast, Ryan. And sports keeps going, never stops. And free agency is looming forward towards us. The Honda Classic's happening. The NBA is happening. So hopefully we'll see the best coming up.
Yeah, in the home stretch for NBA, NCAA basketball. April's coming with the playoffs. So March Madness, it's the best time of year is coming very, very quickly, Santiago.
Ryan, Krista, thanks for joining the Sportcast.
See you later. Bye-bye.